Hey everybody, this is Wade with Wade for Wireless. How you doing today? Hope everything's going well. Coming up on the holidays. Hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving, and I hope everyone has a great Christmas coming up. Want to wish everyone a happy holidays. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, whatever. Whenever you celebrate. But most people I know celebrate Christmas. So Merry Christmas, everybody. I want to make sure I'll try to say that up until Christmas. So today, I want to talk about unionizing. And is it time to unionize tower climbers? Now, that depends on who you talk to, even within the climbers. Some climbers say yay, some climbers say nay. And I don't know what the true answer is going to be, but I just wanted to get my thoughts on it. So I'll get you guys talking out there and thinking about it, because this is a common subject that I see that comes up on Facebook quite often. Everyone's asking about, should we unionize? Should we join a union? What union would we join? Would we have to create a new union? And I have some feedback in there. But first, I want to get my two cents. So to be honest with you, I know climbers that are already in unions, right? And we're trying to figure out what unions would accept tower climbers. So I sent a note off to the IBEW to see if they would get back to me and give me a response and just give me some advice or some insight, because there's a lot of different unions. You know, there's IBEW, which is the Electricians Union, International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, and there's the Communications Workers of America, CWA, and there's also the Iron Workers. Iron workers have a union as well. These are all three good unions, and the iron workers used to take tower climbers in because they looked at steel, you know, the tower construction. But I think they don't anymore, because, you know, tower climbers do so much more, and that's part of the problem. So with communication workers, you know, they look at communication workers as someone who, you know, does audio visual. There's a lot, you know, they do a lot of different communications work. But then a tower worker could do welding, construction, steel work, which would fit in with the iron workers. But then what if a tower climber does, you know, alignments or communications work or cellular carrier work? That would be more communications, and they might do electrical work. They might hang lighting on a tower. That would be more the electrical workers. And the people I know, the climbers I know that are unionized, are all the ones that I can think of, are all in the IBEW, because they, you know, they were electricians and communications workers. And by communications, they did wiring. You know, they did a lot of the wiring for data communications, for electrical wiring and things like that. So, and if data wiring is quite a big, it's a huge industry. With all the wireless we need, we still need, you know, fiber run. We still need Cat 5, Cat 6 run. It's just the way it is. And that's a huge amount of work out there. And a lot of cities and areas require union work, or union laborers, I'm sorry. Especially if you go to the bigger cities. And the ones off the top of my head, New York City, Boston, Philly, Philadelphia, those are big union towns. And, you know, you have union and you have prevailing wage, part of the, you know, fairness to workers. So should all tower workers unionize? Is it something that would catch on? Is it something people don't want to talk about? I imagine if you own a tower crew, or if you own a couple crews or run crews, you may or may not want to unionize. So here's what I did. I thought I'd come up with a list of pros and cons. And I didn't group them in any way. And in all honesty, some could be pros, some could be cons. Now, just to be clear, I'm going to look at this from the tower climber's perspective, okay? To all you carriers out there listening to this, I would imagine you don't want to unionize. However, I got to tell you, AT&T comes from a long line of union workers, as does Verizon. Now, those are the mother companies. Verizon Wireless, I don't believe they're union. They're not union, although they follow a lot of union guidelines. You know, AT&T, I think it's very similar. AT&T Wireless, I think, follows a lot of union guidelines. That's why they're structured the way they are. And let's look at facts. AT&T and Verizon battling for number one and two. I don't know which is which at the time. You know, it depends what parameter you're looking at, subscribers, or whether you're looking at coverage. And then the quality, the download speeds could go either way, right? I mean, download speeds with LTE or could go to either of them or even T-Mobile. But as far as I know, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, T-Mobile is not structured union-wise. And I certainly don't think Sprint is either. I think Sprint's the farthest from it you can get. But feel free to correct me. I didn't put any of that in my blog. I just wanted to give you some of that information here on the podcast. So when we look at this, I went through a bunch of different points, okay? Pros and cons. Again, I didn't group them in any special way, but the pro would be the tower climbing apprenticeship programs would be implemented. It would be very structured, just like the union does it now. And I know the IBEW is a very well-structured system in place for the apprentices. Very clear. They do have a timeline, but the apprentices do a lot of work. The apprentices are required to take classes, and the apprentices are required to log so many hours before they become, say, I'm going to use electrician because it's easy, say before they become a master electrician. Plus, there's certifications and constant training and updates that they would be required to do. It's not easy. Those guys put it, the apprentices put in a lot of work. So that's, you know, how they earn their dues, pay their dues, and they earn the respect of the others. Okay, so that's one thing. Tower climbing apprenticeship programs. The next one could be a pro or a con, but the tower climber pay would be structured and set. So when you're working in one area, you would have a standard pay based on your experience. Are you an apprentice? Are you a master? Where are you? How many years? And so on. So, and that's one thing personally that really hurt me when I was climbing, you know, in the old days, back in the 80s and 90s. Tower climbers got a pretty penny. You know why? Because it was not a commodity. They didn't hire anyone off the street. You had to know what you were doing. For one, you had to have the balls to go up on a tower and do work up there in any kind of weather. But it was truly a respected job in the fact that you went up there, you did all you could, you learned from the best. It was hard work, but you also had to be smart. So you work smart, you work hard, you do your planning. And you have to know how to do a lot of different things. Like some guys could weld, or some guys could do the steel work. Some guys could do the communications work. Some guys could work on the connectors, the cabling, the electrical, the lighting, and so on. Blah, blah, blah. You know, there's a lot there. For all you people that think you can just hire a body and throw them up there, that's how we're getting into a lot of these messes where the fire department has to come out and rescue somebody. It's because these poor young guys, they aren't trained the way they should be. And by that, not just the guy in the tower, the crew needs to be properly trained and set up. So I'm not going to rant on that anymore, but that could be a pro or con if the pay's set up and it's standard. I do feel when it really hurt the industry when they commoditized it, and you know they were hiring guys for $8 to $10 and just throwing them out there. You know, they may or may not have the right training. They didn't do any updates. You know, a lot of these companies just did it half-assed. So now the next thing, a pro would be the structured training outside of climbing training. What do I mean by that? I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. I'm going to use Comtrain as an example here, but you could have RF Safety 1, or you could have Safety, you know, you could have Tower Safety. You could have any of the training programs out there, okay? So tower company trains them on how to climb, how to be safe, and how to rescue once. And then off they go into the field. So outside of the climbing training, unions, at least the IBEW, has a very good structure for training people on first aid, on CPR. They have set classes. They have a union hall to hold the classes. And they also do the OSHA training, OSHA 10, OSHA 30. They structure this stuff, right? So there's three things I see about this. One, it's the additional training you need. Two, it's going to be the ongoing training. And three, the company doesn't have to deal with it. The union has to deal with it. So the union is going to set these classes up. The union is going to structure this at their location. The downside for you, the climber, you would have to go to this location. I know you're spread all out. That's why they have local union halls. And again, that's why I think it would be very hard for climbers to start their own union. I'll get into that later. But in your local union hall, that's where you'd go for your training. And it would be a regular thing. And they're pretty strict on it. So it's not just up to you to hold on to your certifications. The union would have a copy of it in the union hall or the office or on their computer, server, whatever, you know. So I see that as a pro. I see the more training, structured training. And when you don't rely on these cheap-ass companies to do it, because not every company does all the training that they should do. So unions could offer a lot more. The next one I see as a pro would be certifications would go in the go with the climber. So the way unions work, like if you get laid off, you go to the union hall, you put your name in, and when your certificate, when someone requests certifications like yours and your number's up, you would go to work. You know, you'd work for that company. So your certifications would follow the climber. The way it's structured now, and you guys pay attention to this, your certifications don't follow you. Your certifications are basically with the company that trained you. So if you get trained by a company, I'm going to use Comtrain. It's just easy and I know it. If you get Comtrained by a company and you go to another company, your certification technically does not follow you. You understand? It's with that company. If you are a Comtrain instructor and you go to another company, your certification does not follow you. Okay? You understand that? So I have another blog about that, about if your certs follow you, I'll put it in there. It's very important. Another pro I see would be mandatory repeated training. Unions would be strict about that. It wouldn't be based on the company's budget. It wouldn't be based on the company's schedule. You would have mandatory training that you would schedule. You would know about it months ahead of time. So that's very important because you want that repeated training. You do. Practice, practice, practice. How many times we say it, guys? You want to rescue somebody, you practice. With the more you practice, the more you plan, the more you think about what you should do if something happens. Practice, 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 and more practice. That's the thing. I wish I'd have done more of it when I worked. And I talk to guys that do that. There's a lot of guys that run crews in this industry that live by that mantra. And there's a lot of owners that go out and they make sure that their crews are doing it, that it's all not all lip service. And with that said, a lot of crews that just don't give a rat's ass if you practice. They just want to I understand they want to make money. That's how you stay in business. But they would rather have people scheduled than have people prepared. They don't look at the big picture that if an accident happens and nobody's prepared, you know, that it's going to hurt business and hurt the money a lot more. Chances are it might even drive them out of business, especially if OSHA tacks on one of those big fines. And let me tell you something. They're going to point the finger at the worker. That's easy. That's the easy out. Oh, well, he shoulda, coulda, woulda. But the reality is it's a team effort, leadership and the front line. Okay, the next pro would be the certifications would stay up to date. The local union hall should make sure of that all your certifications would stay up to date. If you let something lapse, which I don't think you do, because once they get structured and did the training and the practice and the updates, I think it would be very hard for your certifications to be out of date. So that's a pro, the way I see it. The con, this is a big con, strikes would happen. You might have to go on strike to show unity. It's something you would have to do. It could last a few weeks, could last a few months. Now, let me tell you something. One thing I learned about these rollouts, that if you go and strike, you would be very specific about what industry you want to hit. So if they wanted to, say, strike for better wages against, let's say, LTE build-outs, and just imagine if all the climbers that were doing the build-outs for AT&T, AT&T Wireless, Verizon Wireless, Sprint, and T-Mobile stopped working, how long do you think that would last? How long do you think they could look at their shareholders and blame the unions? The workers won't work. What can we do? Let me tell you something. They don't care if somebody dies. They just send another crew out there to fix the job, right? They don't go to the shareholders and say, well, someone died. We have to shut down the site for a week. They go back out there within a week and have a new crew there. It's just the way it is. But that's something everyone, it would be a share the pain. Share the gain, share the pain. And the pain would be if a strike happened. So just making you guys aware of that. The next thing, which would be a pro or a con, and it goes back to raising salaries, chances are the prices would go up for customers because the pricing would have to be consistent in an area. It might make the bidding a little more interesting, you know, because the bidding would be more consistent. In other words, you wouldn't have, let's say it's a $10,000 job, you wouldn't have three companies bidding, you know, right around 10 grand and another company bidding for 5 grand just because they're going to hire some kids that don't know what they're doing or whatever. So that would be interesting. And again, the cities I thought of off the top of my head, Philadelphia, New York City, Boston, some of those areas that are have heavily unionized areas. So another pro would be that if you were union, and you would be recognized as well-trained and a professional. And for anyone who works with union and non-union, the non-union company has to have a good reputation. It's just the way it is. Otherwise, they're probably going to go with the union company if it's a an industrial build. Now, for your house electrician, you may or may not want union. That's up to the individual. But for an industrial job, they usually look at union electricians as pros. That's normally how it is. Another pro that I see it for the tower climbers, union would have pull in the government because unions are organized. They're organized and they usually have lobbyists in the government. So right now, think about it. For tower climbers, who do the lobbyists represent? The carriers, they all have lobbyists. Maybe the OEMs because they're big companies. Let's see, a lot of the communication workers, you know, because they have unions. So who's not represented? Who's not represented in government? Let's see here. Tower climbers are not represented in government because they've got nobody. Nobody's on their side in government. Now, granted, you have TIRAP, you have the FCC, and you have the Department of Labor. That's how they're represented in government. And if something happens and we start losing climbers, then they get involved. Let me tell you something. A few years ago when there weren't many accidents, did they care? Not really. I'm sure they cared. They didn't want anyone getting hurt. And I'm sure they were still issuing citations. But let me tell you something. There's other than the safety issue, there's really no one representing the tower climber for any other issues. Okay? Just something to think about. So... another pro, if you put your name in a union hall, they would look for work for you. Granted, the recruiters would still have business and work. They'd still be looking for people. But the reality is you'd put your name in a union hall, and if someone came to the union hall looking for workers, they would get you, a company. So the recruiters would still try to find people. They would still look for contractors and people and so on. So another con would be, depends how you look at it, but you would need to pay union dues. The company wouldn't pay them for you. You'd pay them. You would give so much money to the union. Whether it would be negotiating your salary or not, I don't know. But they build a lot into those union dues. And I didn't put everything down. But, you know, your vacation pay, you might pay extra for vacation pay. You might pay extra for your retirement. Maybe the union would take over your retirement. Something else to think about, you know, when you pay these dues, the union does a lot. It's not free. They got to pay for training. They got to pay for these lobbyists. They got to pay for organization. They got to pay for the hall to hold the training. So I get it. You know, it's still a business. You still got to make money. But for you workers out there, it'd be one more expense out of your pocket. Just giving you a heads up. So finally, the pro or con, if you worked in an area that was a heavily union area, you'd probably have to sign into the local union hall. I don't see this as a con, but I don't really see it as a pro. I just see it as one more thing you'd have to do when you worked in an area. Now, I don't think everyone has to go and work in. I think just the union rep for the crew goes, signs in, and in some areas they require a local union steward to work with you. That isn't necessarily a bad thing. You have a local guy, he should know the people, the area, the surroundings. He could really be of service to you. But it would be more money you'd have to build into the job because you'd be paying another salary. He doesn't come out for free. So now one of the reasons I brought this up, because I see it all the time on Facebook, but when I had more feedback from you wireless workers from that blog post, a lot came up about that. So I'm just going to bring some comments in here and then I'll give a response. So this is a little more feedback. So someone said, and the comment goes, "It has definitely become an us against them atmosphere, right down to our own PMs and CMs that'll push, work 14/7 until the project's over. Then We'll call you when we need you or until you quit. Just get some sleep. All the money in the world isn't worth it if you destroy yourself to make it. So the response is, I hear this from so many people, and it's crazy. It's not fair, but it becomes all about the work and the schedule. Oh, when he says 14 by 7, 14-hour days, 7 days a week, okay? So it's a long day, right? 8-hour day, 14. That's the way I took it, 14 by 7. So that's a long day, and they do let you sleep, which is nice, you know. You could be working more of those hours you're just laying in bed, but hey. So the next comment I got, which can probably figure out who it came from once I read it here, and it's long, so bear with me. So the comment goes, and I quote, I agreed with David Anthony on nearly every point. If he treats safety the way he said he did, just a note, David Anthony was at TYRAP, and he ran the company that never had an accident, and he's very strict about training and practice. Okay, I'll continue. I appreciate that sort of leadership. Unfortunately, the majority of employees out there today make Dave an aberration. Someone pays for the cost of doing business. My question is, who pays the price? Ask the family member who has lost a loved one. Ask any worker confined to an adult home, wheelchair, or any career-ending injury. I have seen far too many families, extended families, supported by a climber. Turn with no other options to public assistance in the event of a catastrophic injury or death. One clear fundamental difference I have from Dave was his call for industry change from the top down. That has been attempted by Nate and wireless industry interests for decades. All of Nate's policies agendas have been blaming the dumb cowboy who refuses to tie off. Need an example? Look at any of their posters from the Tie or Die initiative a few years ago. More recently, to their two public service announcements earlier this year promoting their 24/7 campaign. Listen closely to who they are talking about. The shifty tower contractor, carriers and turfers? Nope. That employee who throws caution to the wind and free climbs because he doesn't follow the rules. They are the focus of the industry fatality rate. You make some good points about the way the industry does business, Wade, but I feel there is more that can be done than just accepting things the way they are and getting used to the way business is done. TYRAP is just another industry gimmick. Just another top-down approach to train more workers. Few details have emerged about this wonder of the industry. You can go to the link Wade provided and see what they are intending to do. The few graduates who completed the program are expected to enter the field with immersion in industry trainings and certifications. Yes, more certifications. These certified experts are expected to start in this workforce as top hands, CMs and PMs, not well-seasoned or experienced climbers. Do you see some friction? When those men hit the field and see the way work is shoved from the top down into the climbers' throats, how do these certs make these graduates any more prone to industry pressure to get work done without proper gear, planning, material, and design? Especially climbers who have many years of experience watching classroom climbers being hired instead of them. Unions. Union apprenticeships have been a well-proven way to get workers real-time, hands-on work experience under a mentor who is a master tradesman. This goes in every rank and file member. Apprenticeships are a proven method to experienced workers to a safe level of competence. Over the period of years, with work and classroom experience that is standardized by the workers, I don't see the entire industry warming up to this idea right now, but I offer a bottom-up approach that reaches out to every rank and file climber. Instead of these elite classroom climbers who are going to take management positions, not climbing positions. Wade, I appreciate your critique on the industry pressure cooker that is responsible for filling holes in the ground with warm bodies. I would rather see climbers realizing their potential and take pride in future climbers coming in. As I said, the climbers have not seen this for themselves yet. So we will need more of Dave Anthony's top-down safety solutions by the industry. I mean, no disrespect to him. His points were mostly spot on. In the meantime, Nate will proclaim to how they are saving lives. More mothers and fathers will bury their children. Widows, widowers, and children will cling to some hope that the call they just got about their lost loved one is just a horrible dream. That their loved one will come walking through the door at any moment. Just before reality sets in, they feel the burn in their guts. As Kurt Vonnegut put it, and so it goes. I mean, it's really something to think about. And my response to that is, thank you. That's such a good, it almost leaves you speechless because he covered a lot of points there. It's very hard to hit a lot of points, obviously, but it's hard to clarify them all, but that's why I wrote this post. I wanted to just focus on the unionizing of the tower climbers and how we do it. And I got to be honest with you. I'm trying to figure it all out. I don't know if I can. It's going to take a lot of research and time. And I guess the way you look at it, if we don't do it, nobody else will. I mean, really, we have to find a dedicated group to do it. It's going to be tough. So, with all that said, that leads right into the Hubble Foundation. So please support the Hubble Foundation. If you have some money you can give them or something you can donate, some way you can help them out, let's try to help them out. I know it's Christmas, you know, it's a time of giving and you're getting hit up by every other possible, charity, but you know, if you're a tower climber, and if especially if you ever met anybody who was seriously injured, we think Hubble can help. One of the obstacles Hubble runs into is when somebody gets hurt, oftentimes people lawyer up, and the lawyers don't want the hurt people talking to anybody. And you know, Hubble's there for support. They're not there to pass judgment. I don't know if you ever worked with Jet. Jet isn't there to say what you should or could have would have done. She's just there to say, Jet and Kathy, sorry, Kathy Pierce. But they're there to say, how can we help? What do you need now? What can we do to improve your family's living condition? What can we do to improve your children's lives? What can we do that you lost when you lost that loved one? Obviously, there's a hole in your heart. You lost someone very near and dear to you, someone you love. That can't be replaced. However, the reality is when that person went, you lost a paycheck, you lost your income, and you lost a lot of things that is going to make it very hard for your family to survive. And when the lawyers get involved, are they giving you money? Are they helping you out? What I'm saying is, if you work with the Hubble Foundation, they don't pass judgment. They may ask what happened, but the reality is they're there to help. They're there to help any way they can. And they're going to, if you want to talk, they'll listen. If you need money, tell them what you need, tell them what bills you have to pay, and they'll do the best that they can to raise the money for that. With that said, also, Nate also has the Tower Family Foundation. I'm not quite sure as much about the details, but they have a lot of money in there. So that's someone else you can reach out to. Nate's Tower Family Foundation. Get on their website and see how they can help. I just think these are things that can help you out in your time of need. It's just horrible, you know, when these things happen. All right. I don't want to bring you down anymore. Now it's all about me. So if you're listening on iTunes or Stitcher, subscribe, write a review, give me some feedback on there. You know, I need that. I need to at least know somebody's out there. And the other thing is I have several products. I just finished my scope of work training. It's about $25. And what it is, it's just a tutorial to go over about what you should see and should read and what you should put into a scope of work. If you're writing, reading it, or trying to understand it, gives you a general understanding of what's in there. And I just created an audio book for my tower climbing and introduction because people asked for it. So now you can listen. So that's out there. All the links are in my blog. And I still have my field workers aid for tower site work. That's in there. I have a products page. That link's in there. You know, just scroll down. I have a couple blurbs in there. But Yeah, go ahead. Try it out. I also created a free ebook that really to promote my SAL overview. So if you wonder, if you just want to see an overview of the scope of work, go ahead, get the free ebook. So download. It's a PDF document, but hey, it's free. You know, what do you want? I got you a free book. So if you're going to complain about price, download the free stuff. And just remember, guys, be smart, be safe, and pay attention to what you're doing. Follow the plan, because you can veer off the plan. That's okay, but it's good to have a plan in place because you need to follow something. All right? Everyone, take care. And again, happy holidays. Take care of yourselves.